Amen. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 6. I'll try not to be long. I'll try to be brief. We have, amen. All right, let me get my water here. We got some visitors here from Cocoa Beach, Florida. Brother Tommy's here, and he said, I drove 5 hours to hear what you got to say. I said, well, buckle up, brother, because I'm going to lay it on you. Amen. We're glad to see him. Amen. And his girlfriend went back again with us this morning. All right, Genesis chapter 6, one of the most famous stories in the Bible. Everybody's heard this story and taught this story. You heard it all throughout your entire life about the great flood. Let's read a little bit in Genesis chapter 6. If you got your King James Bible, if you don't have one, we'll give you one. Amen. All right, verse number 1 said, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives, all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Oh, but I like this next verse. The first time grace shows up in the Bible, it said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. And let's jump on down to verse number 14. God told him, he wanted to build an ark. He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make it in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make of it. Amen. And we read on down into chapter number 7. If you'll jump on down, let's read a couple of verses there, and then we'll preach just a little bit. And the Bible said in chapter number 7, verse number 13, in the selfsame day they entered Noah, and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. And every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God hath commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the rest of the chapter talks about the great flood that God poured out upon man. I want to preach on a real simple message this morning. The Lord's laid on my heart. Simply this, are you in the ark? Are you in the ark? This is not just some fairy tale story that's been circulated around for hundreds of years just to make people feel good and just to give people an idea of how much fun it must have been to put them animals on the ark. But it's a true story, something that actually happened around 5,000 years ago, something like that. And the Bible tells us, there mentions three different arks, types of arks in the Bible. The Ark of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, we just read, saved men from the wrath of God. This ark was designed to save Noah and his family from the wrath of God. You can read over in Exodus chapter 2, there was an ark of bulrushes, and that ark was built to shelter someone from a satanic attack. You may remember Moses' mama took him, put him in that little ark. She built it, put him out in the river, and let him go. She did that to protect him. That ark was to protect him from a satanic attack. Amen. And the third ark we see read about is in Exodus 25, the Ark of the Covenant. And that's where a man is sheltered from the condemnation of the law. That's where the golden pot of manna, where Aaron's rod budded inside, where the written tablets of God were on stone. And those are the three types of art. But we want to use that this morning to give us a little bit of what we have here in this dispensation of grace. A lot of people's debating about the ark, whether it happened or whether it could happen. And I believe it like this. Somebody said, you really believe in the story of Jonah? You believe a great big whale swallowed a man and spit him out 3 days later? I said, well, if the Bible said that the man swallowed the whale and spit him out 3 days later, I'd believe that. Amen? I just believe it like it said. And they claim, you know, that it's not possible that anybody could build an ark out of all those prehistoric tools they had, but we don't really know what he had. And they say, you know, the critics, they claim it couldn't have been like that. You couldn't have got all the animals on there. How big was the ark? And there's a lot of studies and a lot of people, a lot of commentaries have talked about how big the ark was. If a cubit was 18 inches from a man's elbow to his fingertips, then it would have been about 300 cubits, 50 cubits, and 30 cubits. The cubit was the length of a man's arm to his fingertip, and so it would tell you it'd be about a length and a half of the football field. But I got to thinking about this. Back in those days, the weights and measurements of that day were probably determined by those mighty men. So it could have been that a cubit was 30 inches long from the tip of a giant's elbow to the tip of the finger that dominated the world. It could have been that thing, a cubit, was 30 to 40 inches long. And so instead of 18 inches, it could have been 30 inches. So Noah's luxury liner would have been about 200 yards long, 125 feet across, and it would stand 75 feet tall on dry ground. Amen. That's a pretty big boat. Somebody said the Titanic was built by professionals and it sunk the first time out, and the ark was built by an amateur and it withstood the storm of time. Amen. That's the truth, brother. Amen. I want to tell you something this morning. You got to remember the story here and what took place. It was large enough to hold all the animals. Scientists have studied this, and they said, I was reading about this week, and they said not only would it be big enough to hold all the animals that the Bible tells us, but they would actually have room left over. One scientist said, I don't know why they built it that big. He's got so much room left over after putting all the animals on there. I don't know what they did to all that open space. Boy, I thought, man, that's a blessing. And the Bible said they put two of every kind of every unclean beast, and they put seven of every kind. So actually there's more animals on there than you think there were. I mean, you imagine the day that right before the rain came down and those animals showed up. I bet it looked like Barnum and Bailey's circus, all them giraffes and elephants and rhinoceroses and platypuses and porcupines. And I just want to ask Noah, when I get to heaven, why in the world did you let them rats on there? Why did you let them mice? I hate a mouse. I'd rather have a snake in the house than a mouse. I ain't kidding. I hate a mouse. I got a mouse phobia. I ain't scared of them. I just hate them. They're so nasty. They're filthy nasty. We was over one day working at the house, and crazy here, the dog pinned one down, and he went down there and killed it and picked it up, carrying it around by the tail. Caleb was. He said, I said, get that thing away from here. He said, I'll put it in my truck and I'll throw it out down the road and throw it in the floorboard of his truck. I said, you make sure my daughter knows that's in the floorboard before she crawls in that truck. She'll kill you and me both. I mean, she carries a gun too, you know. And so anyway, I'll ask Noah about that. I don't have nothing to do with my message. But anyway, and somebody said, that thing was so big, how could it possibly navigate? But you got to remember, the ark was not built to navigate. It was built to float. That's what it was for. It was to save people. Thank God, I'm glad, brother, that Jesus Christ, he is our ark, and he is presented and come to this world, came to this earth to save mankind. I'll give you this real quick. I want you to notice the Bible said that there was a door. The Bible said there was one door in the ark. Jesus said, I am the door. By me can any man go in and find pasture, can be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Listen, the Bible said that God was in charge of the door and Noah was in charge of the window. Amen. You can't run in and out. You can't get saved and get lost and get saved again and get lost and get saved again. Once you go in, you're in. And God didn't just say, go in the ark, it's time to go. But he said, come into the ark. God was already in there with them. Amen. I want to tell you something this morning. I'm glad there's not a Baptist way. There's not a Muslim way. There's not a Catholic way. There's not a Lutheran way. Amen. There's not a Pentecostal Holiness way. There's not a Free Will Baptist way or Episcopalian way. There's one way, and it's through and by the precious blood of the Lamb of God that died on the cross. Oh, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I would ask you this morning, are you in the ark? Hey, amen. You listen. You question yourself. You examine yourself. Am I really saved? Am I in? Am I saved? I want to tell you, brother and sister, you know, some of you go to church here, have heard me tell my testimony. I ain't going to go into it in depth, but my daddy was a Baptist preacher, so I went to church my whole life, but I wasn't in. I was in church, but I wasn't in the ark. Oh, I want to tell you, I remember that night in 1978 when the Holy Ghost pricked my heart, and I decided I'm going to get in while the getting's good. And God said, just come. Oh, just come to Jesus this morning, friend. You may come to this church. Your daddy may be a deacon. Your daddy may be a preacher. You may have come here for years. But I want to tell you, if you're not in the ark, the wrath of God's coming. Oh, brother, listen, it's going to rain down the judgment of God. Oh, as this brother already said this morning, America is headed for doom. America's headed for judgment unless she repents. Oh, but I'm glad to tell you this morning, I'm safe in the ark. I'm glad, brother, the blood's been applied. I know my name is there. I know my name's been recorded. And I know when the storm comes. And I know, brother, listen, when the satanic attacks come, I know that I'm safe. I'm safe in the ark this morning. There's only one door. You can't get in any other way. God told him to put one door in it, told him to build that window. And I don't believe it's just a little window. Commentaries will tell you they believe that window, according to the way it was built, that it ran all the way around the top. And it was for ventilation and illumination. Amen. Noah, he could go up in that upper part and look out anytime he wanted to. I want to tell you, however it was made, I'll tell you there was a window there, and Noah could go look out the window and turn that raven loose and turn the dove loose, but I had to open the one door. God didn't say, as you heard on the video this morning, society believes it like this. This is what they believe. They believe you can go to heaven. I heard a man on TV the other night. He said, you know what? We just need to get along. We're all serving the same God. We're all going to the same place. I said, no, we ain't. No, sir, brother. We're all the sons of Adam. Unless you're born again, unless you've been regenerated, had your name written down in the last book of life, unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary, you're a son of Adam. Hey, you have that Adamic nature. You're doomed and destined for hell. The Bible said they come forth from the womb speaking lies. You're born in sin and you're going to hell. You say, preacher, I ain't done nothing bad. I don't cuss and I don't drink. Can I tell you something this morning? Listen, those things are a byproduct of who and what you are. Hey, drinking don't send you to hell, and gambling don't send you to hell, and murder and all that stuff don't send you to hell. That's a byproduct of this disease that we have. When we're born, we have the nature of our father Adam. Oh, but that's what Jesus said in John chapter 3. He said, you must be born again. You was born wrong the first time. You came out of your mother's womb and you was a sinner and you're doomed and destined for hell, and there ain't but one way in, and God fixed it where you can get in by grace this morning. It's good to be saved. I'm glad I'm in. Amen. You say, preachers, all that screaming and hollering necessary? I don't know, but I like it. I tell you one thing, when you get to heaven, you're going to be out of place. I believe some people, when they get to heaven, they're going to put them in a separate room and teach them how to shout and then turn them loose, because they ain't never done it. I flipped the TV on the other day, and the Family Feud was on. One of them game shows. You ever watch them game shows? I don't ever watch them, but that just happened to be on. And these people won $20,000 in a new car. I mean, I'd get excited about that, too. And they were shouting and dancing. Man, that's cutting the rug all over the place. And millions of people watching them. And here we come to church in Baptist. We're saved, washed in the blood. Listen, my nature's been changed. I ain't lost no more. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'll tell you, Baptist, how we sit around here like this, like we got so much dignity. God ought to knock some of the dignity out of us. Some of us need our starch knocked out of us, brother. Listen, can I tell you something? You better remember where you came from. You better remember where you were and what you were when God came down that lonely road of conviction. redemption and found you in your lost condition and saved you by grace. Thank God you got in the door. If you're saved this morning, you got in the same way that the rest of us did. I'll tell you something else the world believes. I've visited so many people that's had deaths in their family, and they'll say this, well, Daddy never went to church. He had his own way. I'm sorry to tell you, friend, but he don't either. Daddy just worshiped God out here in the woods hunting and fishing, and Daddy was a good man. I've heard all that stuff my whole life ever since I've been preaching. But I'll tell you something. Jesus didn't die on the cross and suffer and be bruised and battered and beaten and shed all his blood just so somebody could decide, I don't want that way. I'm going to pick another way. I'm going to make my own way. Can I tell you something? That's what Cain thought he'd do. He went out there and brought the best fruits. He brought all his vegetables, his turnip and his taters and corn and all that. Said, look at me. Look what I've done. And God said, that stinks. I don't want it. Oh, but Abel brought a blood sacrifice. That's what it takes, brother, without the remission of sin. Well, amen. Listen, we're saved. We're saved by God's grace through the blood of Jesus, and that's the only way you're going to get in. As a man asked me one day, he said, well, if what you say is true, then there's going to be an awful lot of people going to hell. I said, that's exactly what Jesus said. The broad way leads to destruction. You know what they said to Noah? While he's building that ark, 120 years preaching and building. He bound to be a Baptist. And then after he got through and come off the ark, he got drunk. After being in the building program that long, I'd want to get drunk too. I'm kidding. You know what they said about Noah? They probably said, you think you know everything. You're judgmental and narrow-minded, and you think you got all the answers. You think it's got to be your way. You think you're right and the rest of the world's wrong. Noah wasn't saying that. Hey, but could I tell you something? By the way, he was the only man right, and the rest of the world's wrong. Hey, just because there's a few of us, that don't mean nothing. Hey, brother, the majority's always been wrong. The majority's always going the wrong way. But I'm glad, brother, in every dispensation, you see in the Bible, where the wrath of God comes down, God always has a remnant of people. There's always a handful. Elijah sat there in depression. He said, I'm going to quit. As a matter of fact, I'm feeling suicidal. And God said, what's your problem, son? He said, everybody's quit. There ain't nobody preaching. There ain't nobody got convictions like I do. They've all forsaken the King James Bible. There ain't nobody believes nothing. And God said, get up from there. He said, I got 7,000. Still left that you don't even know about. You ain't by yourself, son. There's still a few of us left. And thank God, I believe we ought to go out kicking and screaming and shouting and preaching and do everything we can to win this lost world to Jesus. There's only one door. I don't really have a structured outline this morning. I just thought I'd haul off and preach. But I'll tell you something else. God said, come in the ark. Are you saved this morning? You say, well, preacher, that's not what I ask you. I've seen people that's belonged to the church for years. I've pastored people I believe was lost. I've seen deacons. I've heard a preacher that's preached in the pulpit and then realized they was lost. I'm asking you this morning if you're in the ark. I mean, if the Lord Jesus came today, if he came today, are you ready? Are you in the ark? You say, preacher, I don't like all that screaming, hollering. Don't try to scare me. Hey, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to warn you. I'm just trying to tell you that God said, come. And the Bible said this, 8 souls were saved by water. That's a like figure. That's a type. That's not talking about baptism in any way. Hey, man, wouldn't it be awful? Wouldn't it be awful if your family didn't get in the ark? I want to tell you something. He said, come. Now and all the house. He said, Noah, bring your kids, bring your boys, bring their daughter, their wives. Y'all get in here because I'm fixing to rain down judgment on this earth. I want to tell you that statistics say if a child is the first member of the family to be reached by a church, there's 1.7% that you'll get the rest of the family. If a mother is first reached, there's an 18% chance that you'll get the rest of the family. But if the father is reached, then there is a 93% chance that you'll get the whole family in. I'm saying it's time for men to man up, gird up your loins. God told Job, said, gird up your loins like a man and take your family to church. It's a crying shame. Oh, it's a disgrace that a man won't have his family in the house of God on Sunday. Can I tell you something this morning? My kids ain't never rode their bicycles on Sunday. I mean, between morning service and evening service, they can hoorah and climb the wall and do what they want to. But when it comes to the Lord's day of the house of the Lord, that's where they're at. You said, preacher, I don't always enjoy it. That's got nothing to do with it. The Bible said he's worthy and he's due all our praise. Noah probably didn't feel good about what he's fixing to do. But he took his whole family. Wouldn't it be awful this morning if your family wasn't in? Some of us sitting here this morning, our whole family's in church. And we sit around like a wooden Indian. Won't even grunt. I can understand why people don't want to go to church. Really? You get more fellowship and fun down at the county bar. At least they're smiling. You go to an average Baptist church, honest to God, you think you're in a funeral home. You know who the prettiest person is at a funeral home? The dead guy laying up in the casket, and they lie about him. Oh, don't he look good? No, he don't look good. He's dead. All my life when I was a kid, I go to funerals. They say, oh, don't she look good? And I'm scratching my head. I'm a 10-year-old kid. I'm like, no, Grandma don't look good. She's dead. She's laying there corpse. She'll never get up again. What are y'all talking about? You out of your mind? I want to tell you something. That's the way our churches have turned into. Brother, we're in the ark. We ought to be shouting. We ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be happy about what we've got. And we ought to get as many in as we possibly can. This scripture tells us that a man's job, your number one goal, is not to provide a house and money and fine things, but to get your family saved. I'm going to tell you something, people. Listen, you say, preacher, I'm never mad at anything. I ain't never really got much money, don't have a whole lot of stuff. But my wife and kids are in church. You got it all, brother. You got it all. I want to tell you something, brother. I've been to people's home and visit with people when it was when they believe in UFOs. You know what I'm talking about? Flying saucers, where they throw dishes at each other. They have to eat out of paper plates because they broke every dish in the house. I want to tell you something, brother. We've had peace at my house. I mean, we've had our arguments and our ups and downs, but I want to tell you what, we got in the ark a long time ago, and it's safe in the ark. You can raise a family if you're in the ark, if you're saved and washed in the blood, and you're going to the house of God. Brother, listen, it's a place of safety from the wrath of God and from the satanic attack of this world. I'll tell you something else I want you to notice in this story. God shut the door. God shut the door. We just read in our text, God called them in, they went in, and God closed it. Did you know the door of the dispensation of grace is going to be closed one day? You won't be able to, they're talking about these churches, planting churches. There'll come a time when you can't just walk into an average church and feel the Holy Spirit move. It's about that way now. And where there's real preaching, Bible preaching, and you feel the Holy Spirit wooing you and calling you, the door's going to be closed. If Noah had charge of the door, he might have let somebody in. You never know. Noah may have been on that boat and somebody come up as it began to, the waters got up to their knees and up to their waist, and man, about to start banging on the side of it. And so, Noah, don't you realize who I am? I'm the guy that sold you all this lumber, or I'm your neighbor down the road. I'm your cousin. You mean to tell me you're not going to let me in? But Noah had no control over the door. God closed the door. The Bible said God closed the door and no man can open, and God openeth where no man can close. If the door's open this morning and the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart, I'd run down to this altar and get saved. I'd give my heart to the Lord. I'd get in this thing while I could, because the Bible said that the door is going to close. You know, God put them in and closed the door not just to keep others out, but also keep them in. You know how people are. You know how people are. God closed the door. If I don't close it, these crazy people will jump out. I'm going to fix it where they're in. I've been pastoring long enough to know if we ever reconstitute and change the name of our church, I'm going to call it Revolving Door Baptist Church. That's the truth, preacher. This preacher back here is a bastard a long time. You know what I'm talking about? They come and go, don't they? They come and go, brother. I mean, somebody told me the other day, said, we had a big growth spurt, and half of them, I don't know where they're at. I said, yeah, I think I'm going to baptize them and hold them under until they drown, take them on the funeral home. While they're out, God, they ain't going to come back and start tithing and winning souls and going visitation or nothing else. That's right, brother. It's crazy. People will join the church and never come back. That's not getting in what I'm talking about this morning. If God hadn't shut the door, they might have opened it. And it was to keep them in. I'm glad God's kept me in. You know how long I'd have stayed saved if it was up to me? Not very long. I can't keep myself in. The doors also closed to keep them in a safe place. The ark was the only place of deliverance from the wrath of God. Noah had charge of the window. God had charge of the door. The door of dispensation will close someday. The dispensation of grace. The door to the amazing grace of God will close one day. One of these days, listen, when you die, the door of opportunity will be closed. You know, the Catholics believe in purgatory. They believe after you die, if your people's got enough money, they can bring it down after the priest. And while he's sober, he can pray them out of hell and pray them out of purgatory. But that ain't in the Bible. When you die, you're going to wherever you're going. You're going straight to hell and burned until the day of judgment. And then you'll be cast into the lake of fire. But if you're saved, thank God in heaven, you'll leave here on the wings of glory and go safe into the arms of Jesus. I'm telling you this morning, brother. Amen, brother. When the door is closed, when you die, the door is closed. The great day of the Lord, the door is going to be closed too. The Bible said in Psalm 37:12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. They're having their day. They're having their big time now. Jesus said, this is your hour in the power of darkness. But his day's coming. When the day of the Lord comes, brother, you can pray till you're blue in the face. Yeah, I know people think that. Hey, I'm going to live it up, have a good time, do my own thing, and then later I'll do so-and-so. I just said this last week. I've been preaching all these years, and I've preached funerals of babies, children, teenagers. Death ain't no respecter person. You ain't got no guarantee you'll make it. That was my plan. I was a teenager. I was partying, having a big time. I thought, I know I need to get saved, need to go to church and settle down, but I'm going to have me some fun first. And when I hit about 30, I'll slow down, quieten down, and I'll go to church, straighten my life out. But guess what? It didn't work out that way. I come within a hair leaving this world without God, lost and undone. And God had mercy. The door will close in the day of destruction in the lake of fire. Oh, brother, I want to tell you something. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, I'd get in. The rain began to come down. People started to panic. Every single person, every animal died except those that were on the ark. Think of the maybe, possibly, I don't know what the population was. Could have been in the millions of people. People dying. They started taking Noah serious when it clouded up and the thunder started rumbling and rain started coming down and the fountains of the deep were broken up. All the creeks overflowed and the rivers overflowed. It's like a geyser everywhere you look. People started taking their kids and going to high places probably. Go up in the mountain, go up in a high place, and it just kept raining. It rained hard. It rained hard 40 days and 40 nights. Brothers, maybe some of was in a cave. Maybe some of them escaped to the wilderness. But listen, brother, the wrath of God found them. You can run, but you can't hide. I want to tell you, if you're not in this morning, you better get in, because if you die lost without God, you're going to hell. All the religion in the world can't save you. This church can't save you. Preacher can't save you. We had a little boy come to our church one time, a little bus kid. He's mean as a snake. He's a red-headed little boy. He's mean as a snake. We called him Code Red. That's what we called him. That's his nickname, Code Red, because everywhere he went is a path of destruction. But he's a good little boy. We came to church for a while. One day he's sitting on the front row. He told my wife, he said, I tore the... And she makes him walk straight. Y'all know how she is. And he tore a page out of the hymn book. She said, don't be tearing them hymn books. He said, I'm sorry. She said, well, don't ever do that again. That belongs to the church, and that's the Lord's property. He said, I want to apologize to the Lord. She said, okay, you can apologize to him. He said, you want me to go up there and talk to him now while he's up there talking? She said, that ain't the Lord. Poor dumb kid been coming to church. and just raised by heathens, you know. And it becomes, he thought I was the Lord, he thought I was God. And afterwards, I was joking about it. Well, the lady said, yeah, preacher, my son one day said he wanted to shake God's hand. Talking about me. After you tell them kids, I ain't nowhere close to God. I'm more like the devil, if anything. I'm still in this flesh. Hey, man, like Paul said, constant warfare. But here's my point I'm trying to get at. Brother and sister, the preacher can't save you. All the goodness in the world can't save you. All the money. The Bible said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? A man can give all his riches and wealth. There's people that even actually believe that they donate a bunch of money, that God's going to just nod his head and wink and they're going to slip around St. Peter. But St. Peter ain't got nothing to do with this. Too late. There's a day coming when it'll be too late. There's a day coming when the Bible said that everyone died wherein was the breath of life. Imagine that sight. Dead bodies floating everywhere, screaming and crying. You say, preacher, I don't believe God would do anything like that. I don't believe God. I've had people ask me that. How about atheists ask me that? How about people, unbelievers say, you mean to tell me that God killed everybody, including the innocent little children? I said, every one of them. That seems like a mean God. I said, well, God's sovereign. God does what he wants to. And there's always innocent people dies because of sin. Because of sin. There's children hungry this morning. There's kids doing without, and there's kids molested, and it don't have nothing to do with God. It's because of the sinful lifestyle that is brought into this world and the way their families live and the way their parents live, and daddies won't be daddies and mama won't be mamas, and the kids don't hardly have a chance. Amen. That's hard preaching, but it's the truth. Amen. You better get in. Jesus Christ, he is the only hope. Listen, I believe this. I believe when they died, I believe they died physically, and I believe they died spiritually. Amen. If you're not in the ark, you'll perish. Famous verse of Scripture, everybody knows it by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. The Bible said we have no hope, and we're without God in the world. Without Jesus Christ, you're hopeless. The Muslim religion can't save you. Listen, all those Muslims blowing each other up and killing people, thinking they're going to get to heaven and have 13 or 14 or 15 virgins, whatever that is. Well, that'd get old even. After a while, you get sick of that in eternity. Think of all them women you get when you get to heaven. Think of all their mothers, all them mother-in-laws you have to deal with. That's no make anybody shoot yourself. Lord help us. Preacher, you're meddling a little bit. Hey, I want to tell you, heaven is not about going somewhere to be with a woman. Heaven is about going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if heaven didn't have gold streets and jasper walls and mansions and all that splendor, if Jesus Christ was there and there's dirt floors and slab walls, count me in. I want to go. I want to be with him, the one that suffered and gave his life for my sins. You need to get in the ark because, Ronnie, come on the pen, because of the false claims of Satan. We've been preaching about this morning. The world will lead you to believe this ecumenical type, it's permeated society. We're all going to the same place. We're serving the same God. Just like you saw in that video on Oprah telling people, well, where does Oprah get that from? What Bible does she get that out of? She must have made it up herself. If you get to God and he gets to God, it don't matter how you get to him. That's a little bit twisted, ain't it? Tell a man and woman that's married. You can be with other women if you want to, as long as you come home to me. There ain't a woman in here go along with that. It'd be like a man said, tell his wife she can date other men as long as she comes home to him at night. That's twisted, man. That's sick. You don't get to heaven by going, everybody going a different direction, taking a different path, and we all just merge together in the force of the universe. There's one way. And like I said, it's not a Baptist way. Hey, there's going to be a bunch of Pentecostal people in heaven if we don't run right past it. And somebody said when we got to the door where the Baptist was at, it was real quiet. I said, be real quiet because they think they're here by themselves. Shh. don't make no noise. This is where the Baptists are at. They think they're the only ones up here. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in having your doctrine straight. I preach it here all the time. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. The way to get in is not religion and it's not baptism. Ethiopian eunuch said, "Here's much water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Peter said, "Do you believe?" He said, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Man, they went diving in the water. Hey, Philip said, "I ain't going to baptize a man don't believe. That's a waste of my time." Baptizing somebody don't get them nowhere. We don't believe in infant baptism. You know what that does? Gives them false sense of security. As they're growing up, they're thinking, "Well, my mom and daddy took care of this when I was a kid." No, they didn't. I've been a preacher for 37 years. And my kids are right here working in this church with me. But that don't do a bit of good. When they die and stand before God, the fact that I've been preaching all these years and been faithful and kept myself, tried to keep myself clean and all that good stuff, God ain't going to just get up there and just wink and say, "You come on in, your daddy's a pretty good feller." Don't work like that. Ain't going to be no plea bargains. You're going to get just what you deserve. I'm going to ask you something this morning. I've asked this question before. If it did work this way and it don't, if you died and they got you at the judgment and the angels grabbed you by the collar, held you over the banister, and you could hear people screaming in the flames, you could feel the heat, and God said, "You've sinned against me, the condemnation is against you, you've been found guilty, give me one reason why we shouldn't just drop you right now," what would your answer be? What would your answer be? "Well, Lord, I went to church and mom and daddy," that ain't the right answer. Just point to Calvary. "I came by the way of the cross, Lord." They'll pull you back in. Don't drop that one. Jesus will speak up and say, "Don't drop that one. That was mine. I paid for him." You say, "Preacher, I can't get saved and go to church because I can't live it. It's so hard and I'm a sinner." Can I tell you something? The rest of us are too. We can't live it either. It's by him a daily. The Bible said the inward man is renewed day by day. We don't have to get saved every day, but we have to live right and keep ourselves right. But if you're waiting where you can get good enough to get in, you'll be waiting a long time. Just trust him. We're all sinners saved by God's grace. You need to get in because of the false claims of Satan and because of the fall of man. You're a born sinner. And because of the failure of religion. Colossians 1:14 said, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Jesus Christ is the answer. He'll give you rest. When they was on that ship, or that boat, that ark, I figured it out one time. I think I'm pretty close. I might be off a day or two, but I think it was a little over a year, about a year and 10 days or somewhere along in there, that they shut up in that boat, that ark. But you know what? They was safe. They was safe. No satanic attack, no wrath of God, no influence of the world. Them boys, I said, "Dad, when are we going to be able to get out of this thing? The rains quit. Felt like the ark stopped." He said, "We'll get out when the Lord says so, when he opens the door." You're safe in the ark. You can't do that for yourself. Salvation, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to give the invitation. Religion is what man can do for God to get God's approval. You know what I'm saying? I'll do this, and I'll do this, and... But salvation is what God does for man that man can't do for himself. You can't save yourself. When I first got saved, I didn't understand this. I was a little messed up in my doctrine. I thought I had to stay in a state of prayer and read my Bible, try to just stay as close to God as I could because I was afraid if I didn't. The people was always telling me, say, "Hang in there, son. Hang on to what you got. You got something good, don't lose it." I'm like, and it scared me. I just didn't know no better. Then I realized over in Romans 8, toward the end of that chapter, verse 36, 37, 38, down through there, it says there's nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Height or depth, any other creature, I'm safe. Noah just said, "Just calm down. You're safe in here." You can be safe too this morning if you'll trust him. Let's stand this morning.